This is Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us on the hotline right now, he covers the Patriots for SB Nation at Pat's Pulpit. He's Brian Phillips. What's going on, Brian?
Patrick, how's it going, man? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for joining us, buddy. So let's get to one Mr. Brady and his decision not to attend OTAs for the first time since 2010. Is he just, you know, chilling overseas, or is there a little more to it than that?
You know, from the Instagram pictures, looks like him and Giselle are checking out Qatar, checking out the Middle East. Apparently, it was some kind of business trip. We know he's got a lot of business ventures going on, preparing for life after football, whenever that may be, decades down the road from now. But one does have to wonder if Jimmy Garoppolo or another young quarterback was on the roster and he was still in that mentality of, you know, not giving up a snap or a rep, if he would be attending. But I think it's a lot to – we kind of blow it out of proportion, of course, this being the NFL offseason. It's all we can do at this point. But he'll be back soon and in that leadership role, and I don't think it'll have much effect at all.
Well, Brian, you know, there was a lot made about that Dan Shaughnessy piece about the rift between Brady and Belichick and Belichick's hatred of Alex Guerrero and the banning of him from the facility and not liking guys using this TB12 method. And then there was a story about, was it about a week and a half ago about Belichick tearing into Gronk in front of the team about him training with Guerrero instead of the team. And now Gronk's not at OTAs. Again, message, or is he still a little loopy from some of those hits he took last year? You know, I mean, I feel for Gronk because, you know, here's a guy who's, you know, as big as the Hulk, but concussions can bring anybody any size down. But do you think this is concussions, or do you think there's more to it?
You know, I think there's a little something to it from the financial end. I think Gronkowski is looking. He's turning 29 here in a couple weeks, and he's looking at his year that he had a year ago. And we knew that it would be coming kind of to a head in 2012 when he signed the six-year deal that was the richest deal in tight end history in the history of the league. There were some team-friendly years at the end of after that 2016 option and that deal was picked up. The deal became pretty team-friendly, and with the escalation in the team salary cap and Gronk looking down and seeing that he had, you know, first-team All-Pro honors in 2017, he is the best tight end in football still. They went back to the negotiating table last year, added $5.5 million in incentives to his contract, which he earned by becoming the first-team All-Pro tight end again last year. And then he looks, he goes into this year. Last year he earned a little over $10 million in cash. This year he would be looking at right around $9.5 million in cash. And to take a pay cut after being named the top performer at your position might be sticking in his craw a little bit. And I wrote a piece this morning that came out for Pat's Pulpit about another mutually beneficial supplement to his contract that could help get him back into workouts and OTAs when those come up. But the Pats could stand their ground and wait him out. Of course, nothing is mandatory until OTAs in June. So.
Would the Patriots have any interest in one Dez Bryant?
This is a hot button topic around New England. I feel like there's a huge anti-Dez narrative in all of football right now. It's this fantasy football mode almost that he's burned too many casual fantasy football owners out there, and all the talk is about how washed he is. He's not explosive. He doesn't create separation anymore. I ran a poll over the weekend on Twitter, and it got about 1,700 votes. And the poll question was: would you rather have, if money wasn't the issue, Chris Hogan or Dez Bryant as your wide receiver two for the Patriots in 2018, and it came out exactly 50-50, which just boggles my mind. If Dez Bryant could be paired up with Tom Brady and had the ability to not face number one corners and had Tom Brady throwing the football to him with his ability after the catch and ability in the red zone, I think it's a knockout combination, and it can be done financially. If you gave him a 2-year deal with basically a team option after the 2018 season, which kind of spread out his signing bonus, they could make financial sense of it. But I think there's a little bit of an anti-Dez narrative out there that is a little unwarranted.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I am a firm believer that Dez Bryant still has quite a bit left of the tank. And, you know, all you ever hear is, oh, well, he hasn't had 1,000 yards receiving in 3 years. Well, if we go back to 2015, and he was catching passes from Matt Cassel and Kellen Clemens because Tony Romo was hurt again, I can't imagine why they didn't get 1,000 yards. He had trash throwing him the football. The following year, he only played 13 games, but he was on pace for 1,000 yards and double-digit touchdowns. And then last year, the entire Cowboys offense was garbage. So, the quarterback wasn't accurate. The line did not block. So when they couldn't run and they couldn't protect their quarterback. But, yeah, it's all Dez. That and Cole Beasley couldn't catch an STD in a hen house with a fistful of Franklins. But that doesn't mean anything. The idea that Dez Bryant at 6'2", 225, physical receiver, I would be scared to death if he went to the Patriots, because that's 1,300 yards and 14 touchdowns, and I'm not even blinking. Dez,
you know,
Julian, Patrick, Gronk.
A narrative I hear a lot, too, is, well, automatically it's assumed that any receiver that comes in off the street, a free agent wide receiver, can't pick up the Patriots system. And and people automatically draw the similarities right to Chad Ochocinco.
But he's the only one.
They go right there.
He's the only one.
It's asinine. It's completely ridiculous to think. I mean, Chris Hogan was a free agent and came in and caught 38 passes in his first year in the system. But Dez Bryant can't come in and completely top those numbers. A bad Dez Bryant has been twice as productive as Chris Hogan has been with the Patriots over the last two seasons. It's not even close. It would be scary if Dez was in this offense.
Ocho was an old man and washed up when he went to New England, and he's the only guy to go there and fail. I guess they forget who Randy Moss is.
Right. Yeah, you know, Randy is in another – I feel uncomfortable even bringing him into this conversation now because of how dominant Randy was.
I mean, you remember when they got Randy, they stole him for a fourth-round pick. He quit on Oakland. Everybody said, oh, Randy Moss is done, can't run anymore, look how slow he is. No, he just didn't give a damn.
Yep.
It's amazing to me how many armchair GMs there are who've never been in a locker room. Oh, that guy's a cancer. As soon as you hear somebody say somebody's a cancer, you know that guy's never been in a locker room. It's hilarious.
Exactly.
All right. Now, the Patriots have two first-round picks. They're going to pick a 23. They're going to pick a 31. I've seen a lot of different guys linked to the Patriots in those spots, from Leighton Van Der Esch to Mason Rudolph, to Harold Landry, Colton Miller. And then every now and then somebody pops up with, well, the Patriots are going to try to package those two picks and move up. What do you see happen with the Patriots in the draft?
Personally, I'm a big believer that there's not enough people talking about the interior of their defensive line. They've got Malcolm Brown and Danny Shelton, both on fifth-year options, both big two-gap, plodding 310-plus, 330-pound guys. And they've been desperately seeking an interior pass rush, because obviously it's well known their edge rushing hasn't been stellar the last few years since Chandler Jones was traded. They drafted Dominic Easley a few years ago to try to be that interior sub-rushing guy. They had Akeem Hicks, a little bigger, obviously, a few years ago, and then did not re-sign him. He went on, and now he's dominating with the Bears. a guy like Mo Hurst, if he fell down to 23 because of this heart condition, which, I live here in the Metro Detroit area. It's never been brought up with him. People bring up Nick Fairley and Star Lucciolele with the heart issue. Even Nick Fairley played 6 years. Mo Hurst is a special player, and he's, in my opinion, I feel he's the best defensive player in the draft. If he fell and the Patriots passed on him at 23, I'd be heartbroken. But if they don't go and address interior defensive line, I would love to see them go with a Rashawn Evans type at linebacker from Alabama. It's worked well for them in the past with Hightower. And then I, in my heart of hearts, I feel that they're going to trade back from that 31 position. They have a large gap after their third-round comp pick for a couple rounds there. And Bill Belichick does not like having large gaps on his draft board. So I could definitely see another team trying to trade back into the first round, get a fifth year on a 31st overall pick, and Bill just stacking the rest of his draft board and then picking the rest of the draft apart.
Brian, how do you expect the Patriots to make up for the loss of Nate Solder?
Well, the other avenue of thought with that 23rd overall pick would be Colton Miller, who they had in on a visit yesterday, the tackle from UCLA, a lot of the same physical traits. The word on the street is he needs a lot of work. Of course, they've got Dante Scarnecchia, offensive line whisperer. But it sounds, from the sounds of it, if they want a guy like Mike McGlinchey at tackle, they will have to move up to get him. He seems like the most surefire bet in this class. But they did get good news on Antonio Garcia, their third-round pick from last year who had blood clots in his leg that caused him to lose 40 pounds. Apparently, he is back up to 290 pounds. Of course, they brought back Adrian Waddle. So maybe they wait and take more of a project tackle or they just roll with what they've got. There's a lot of options and flexibility with those two first-round picks. So that's nice.
Isn't Waddle a right tackle?
He's kind of a swing. He kind of can do a little bit of both. Obviously, you wouldn't feel fantastic about having him as your starting left tackle, but he's a little underrated. At right tackle last year, he dominated in the fourth.
Oh, he was great. He was terrific.
Yeah, he was amazing.
So was Cam, but both of those guys played on the right side, and Cannon's on the right side. And they don't seem to have anybody on the left side. Are you going to go into the season with Tom Brady and a rookie left tackle? They don't have a choice, do they?
It's going to be a tough situation regardless, whether you have a rookie there or you have a Adrian Waddle, or Garcia coming off of the NFI list last year. That is going to be a question mark area, absolutely.
He's Brian Phillips, covers the Patriots, Pat's Pulpit, SB Nation. Make sure you follow him online at @BPhillips_SB, and you'll get all the dirt and lowdown on the New England Patriots. Brian, thanks for joining us tonight, buddy. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, man.
All right, Brian Phillips, Pat's Pulpit with us. SB Nation covers the Patriots.